last time we had sort of a little discussion of section 2, A Rescue from Hell by Jesus Christ. This is from his book, actually. This is the link. And this was his near-death experience. We couldn't get through it fully last time, but we're basically picking up with the transition from this kind of midway purgatory state nearby a deeper hell realm, hell being associated with suffering and anger and a sadistic tendency in mind, but also deep pain. I mean, it's the deep pain that leads these beings to be full of rage and sadism, actually. And he finally has spent himself fighting. And he basically, again, the metaphysics here is very rich. And as I said before, if he had had more negative karma, if he was really a negative soul, which he's not, he's very positive. But if he was really negative, then when he stopped fighting, they would not stop fighting. But because this was not really in the pit of hell, or in the deeper areas of that astral, lower astral plane, time-space dimension, then when he stopped fighting, they lost the enjoyment, the pleasure of his pain. And they were depending on his pain for their vitality. When he had finished fighting, they were no longer able to feed off his pain, sorrow, fear, rage, in the fighting. So when that's happening, again, he's hearing this voice that says, "Pray to God." He rejects it because he's such a skeptic. You see, even in this other dimension where his senses are very sharp, that's the case after death. The senses are very sharp. Oh, sharper, actually. He's hearing, "Pray to God." He rejects it, even though he really needs help. So three times, the voice says, "Pray to God." Finally, he starts saying things like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and "God bless America," because he really doesn't have any foundation of spirituality in the conscious mind. In the deep mind, he does, but you see, he's not at a level of his own being, which is associated with that level of the astral plane for him, where he cannot therefore access his soul memory. If he could access his soul memory, he would know his past lives, and he would know that he was a very spiritual fellow from previous lives. Now, it's not therefore that after the person dies, they have some kind of immediate access of accessibility to the past lives. Not at all. He wasn't in the condition of healing yet. He was very stuck in his conscious mind patterns and present moment situation, shallow surface level of mind associated with his plight, his condition there. So no, he couldn't access his soul. He didn't know his past lives. He only had the reservoir of conscious learning in this lifetime. So that's why he said, "God bless America." That was the that you know at this time, that was the summit of his understanding of spirituality or prayer. And so there's a little lesson there, if a person doesn't heal their pain, they cannot access the deeper levels of mind, including soul, past lives, and the richness, the greater richness of what we are. So, interestingly, as he prays, even in this way, they retreat from him. They become more angry and cursing and screaming, saying he's worthless and he was a coward as he's praying. And as I said before, it's not that higher benevolent beings are like boiling oil, like he says they felt the beings felt like boiling oil on them, meaning they had real pain, real agony hearing his prayer. And that's because they've set themselves so strongly against love light, light love, light that is love, that they are dead set against opening heart. And opening heart equals their pain, their agony. So their carried agony, which is from, their condition, but it's really from the way they live their life and not healing their pain. That carried agony is the basis of their hate of spirituality and real prayer. Because spirituality and real prayer, sincere calling of love light, is fourth chakra activation. Fourth chakra activation allowed them or caused them actually to feel their own repressed agony, their own unhealed pain. And that's just the case we see with some people, and you can see it online with some comments that people make in forums and YouTube. They feel hateful to to love light. And that's the way some of the Illuminati are, and that's the way some of the military is. It's hateful. They feel hate to consider love light and prayer and Christianity. That's some of the hate they have for Christianity. Any of those who hate Christianity, that hate is born of the hate of their pain. They hate their trauma. They hate their inner pain. And that's the road to hell. So he was laying a long time and he was hopeless. It was blackness, it was despair, and that was his state of mind of nihilism. That blackness, that despair, hopelessness, directionlessness, non-orientation, disorientation, lack of clarity of where he was and what to do is the nihilist mind. It's the atheist, the committed atheist. Some people say, I don't think there's God, but they're not hateful against it. Some people say, I don't know what's true, if there's God, it'll prove it, but they're goodly people. That's not where he was coming from. That's not where true materialists or those on the negative path are coming from. They hate the notion of higher benevolent power because it puts them in touch with their unhealed agony that they will carry to the other side. So he didn't know anything. Section 2, a rescue from hell by Jesus Christ. He didn't know if he was in the world. He just knew, he said, but I did know that I was here. Yes, all his senses work too painfully well. Yes, that will happen after we so-called die. There is no dying. We will leave the physical body, and our senses will work quite well. And where we go will depend on our state of mind and our karma and our accumulation. No direction to follow. And he was feeling even worse now. So that's like solitary confinement for the self-hating man. Solitary confinement is the monk's way, actually. But for the self-hating man, solitary confinement is hell, because they're alone with themselves, which is hell, because they have so much anger built up against feeling their pain. That hatred of other, is the expression of self-rejection of pain, rejection of one's own pain, directly. So then because he was opening heart, he didn't know it, but he, from the prayer and from his exhausted condition, from his realization that if he stopped fighting them and prayed, they would be gone, he got relief. He was coming back to his heart, actually. And that's why he heard the little song, Jesus Loves Me, Yes I Know, from his Sunday school when he was a young child. And he said, I don't know why, but all of a sudden I wanted to believe that. I want it to be true. And so some people, you know, some of the skeptics who are always so smart and brainy, say, oh, well, you just believe that religious stuff, or you believe you're a wanderer because you want to. I want to believe it. That's why you foolish New Age people, you foolish religious folks, believe in such, because you want to. Well, you know what, bro? Even if you want to, it still may be true. Even if I want it to be true, it may be true. It may be true, even though I want it, even though I like it, even though it's lovely and wonderful, it still may be true. I mean, the thing is that the skeptics, they really don't know that they know. They just think that they know, and then they bully. So bullying is not knowing. And if they were honest, which they're normally not, they would admit that they don't know. They don't know. There's, you know, absence of proof is not proof of absence. Absence of proof. Yeah, sure, from our perceptions, there is no proof of God in higher dimensions, no proof of soul, no proof of Jesus, angels, no proof of ET soul, higher dimensions, other groups. There's no proof. Just like Ross said, they offer truth without proof. There is no proof. That's true. But that is not a proof of absence. That absence of proof doesn't prove that these notions are not real. Just like Howard Storm wanting to believe that doesn't prove that it is not true. So skeptics are tricky, right? Satan is the father of lies. So they're tricky, tricky. And Satan is called the accuser. And the accuser is the one who's angry and accuses. J'accuse. And that's just the way the negatives are. They love fighting. They eat hate. Their diet is hate and pain. Just like Ross said, that's their picnic. Pain, suffering of others. And so they have to make conflict. So he wanted to believe it. And it actually happens to be true that yes, Jesus loves you, the angels love you, God loves you. The universe is love. The light, the substance of light is love. The nature of the light, of creation, of the octaves. The multidimensional octaves, the multiple octaves of dimensional creation, of vibrating light, their substance is love. That's why it's called light love, love light. The origin of light is the action of free will upon love, said Ra. So inside he screamed, Jesus, please save me. He really wants it. And so he says, that thought was screamed with every ounce of strength and feeling left in me, and when he did it, he sees off in the darkness a tiniest little star. It's a lovely image. And he really thought that it was a comet or a meteor. He really, even up to this point, didn't know that there were higher benevolent beings. The nihilist, I mean, he was a committed nihilist, you know? He was sure that religion is bunk. He thought he was so sure. Those people, they have no foundation for what they're going to experience on the other side. None. They drunk the wine of Babylon, and they will be drunk on the other side. And so, then the light gets bright, its radiance spilled over me, and he rose up naturally. The beginning of his ascension, he hit bottom. Now it's time to go up. And all his wounds, his tears, his brokenness melted away. Once again, he said, this was like powder coalescing and dusting off of him, falling off. And then he starts to feel things he never felt in his life. And then he said, suddenly I knew a whole bunch of things. And that's, again, heart knowing. When the heart, you know, fourth chakra, fifth chakra are two sides of the same true mind, the mind is yin yang, receptive, transmissive. The reception is four, the transmission and reception is five. It's the blue green center, as Ra insinuated. Blue 5, green 4. And pure reception, pure transmission. Acceptance, unconditional acceptance, and unconditional capacity to comprehend. Unlimited knowing. Formulation of reality into concept. Thought form. The capacity to consciously perceive and formulate reality by thought form. This is wisdom. Knowing of process and systems. Accurate representation in thought form in a functional way in terms of ex with explanatory power, conforming to the nature of systems and process in reality. That is a portion of love. And love opens the door to such knowing. And such knowing is an expression of love too. It's the love of reality, sufficient enough to comprehend it and put it into usable thought form, which is called wisdom. So, suddenly I knew a bunch of things. He knew that the light, the radiance, knew me. And yes, it knew me. It knew him. It knew him better than his mother or father did. Yes, indeed. And I had the same exact experience in my outer body at the Monroe Institute many, many years ago. It was tangible and palpable that they knew me far better than I knew myself. They really know me. And that knowing of their knowing of me, that knowing in me was communicated by them by their love. Their love, like this entity's love for Howard Storm, communicated their total knowing of him or of me in my experience. And that's very, very interesting. And so, profound love equals profound knowing. And our experience of mind as distinct between reception, transmission, or love, wisdom, is just the result of limited perception. Full love is full wisdom. Full wisdom is full love. It's impossible to develop one fully without the other fully. And that's why, after healing, which is the unblocking of second, third chakra, the greater work is balance. And the balance is primarily 4-5, love, wisdom. Pure love, feeling, acceptance. True mind comprehending expression. The entity, the luminous entity, in fact, this luminous entity, that the term luminous entity is probably better than saying Jesus Christ, because I think Howard Storm put in the overlay of his Christian training before, but there are many, many Jesus Christs in creation, actually. There are many Christs, there are many Christed, Christos beings in the universe. Embraced the entity that embraced him, knew me intimately, and communicated this tremendous sense of knowledge. Yes, transmitted by love. And he was being unconditionally loved and accepted. Unconditionally loved and accepted equals unconditionally known. Fully loved equals fully known. Fully known can only occur with full love. So the light conveyed to me telepathically, right? This is a direct mind to mind, that it loved me in a way I can't begin to express. It loved me in a way I had never known that love could possibly be. The power of love. It is not a joke. It's not a slogan. It's palpable. It's tangible. It's visceral. It's felt. It is a vibratory power felt in our being, very clearly. I mean, when I had my experience, I started crying also, and that's the release of old pain, of course. So, he was a concentrated field of energy. Radiant in splendor indescribable, except to say goodness and love. More loving than one could imagine. And he knew the radiant being was powerful, right? Yeah. 4, 5, 6. Love, wisdom, power, will, sixth center. It was making me feel so good, so all over. I could feel this light on me like gentle hands, loving me with overwhelming power. So the negatives who put down the silly New Age folks, or some New Age folks being silly, or love over wisdom, or weak or naive, stars in their hair, are only putting down those who haven't achieved power, or gone through the development of wisdom to make the bridge of 4, 5, 6. If you ever meet an adept, that being is in power. If you ever meet a real master, that being is in real power. It's they're not a pushover. They're not silly in any way whatsoever. It's just they don't walk around here. So the representatives of the positive side are normally love or wisdom folks, and that's very deficient in power or activity or activation of intelligent energy. Six chakra, 6, 7, 8. The 6, 7, 8 bridge is not well developed in those who are strongly love over wisdom and uncomfortable to move out of love only. The new age or spiritual person who thinks, I can't understand this, but I can be loving. That person is naive, and they get into trouble. Negatives, clever negatives know how to play them. So, love over wisdom is not only easy pickings for the negative, but it involves a blockage of wisdom that prevents us from actually accessing unlimited power. 6, 7, 8. So he began to cry, and then I, and he began to cry, and tears kept coming and coming, and I and this light went up and out of there. Interestingly, he writes very poetically. This is just like he's just like Dante and Virgil in the Divine Comedy. I mean, it's really epic and a really great expression of the soul's journey here. We started going faster and faster out of the darkness, and so he's going interdimensional now. We're going from the lower astral to a higher level of the astral, embraced by the light, right? Like the book title, feeling wonderful and crying. He saw off in the distance something that looked like a picture of a galaxy. It was larger. There were more stars than he'd seen on Earth. An enormously bright concentration, and outside the center, countless millions of spheres of light flying about, entering and leaving what was a great beingness at the center. That's the logos. It was off in the distance. Then I didn't say it, I thought it, because it's all telepathically. And he said, he thought, put me back. And interestingly, that's where they stopped. And so in the ascent, in the movement to the primary light, the source of love light, the logos, the heart of our being, the heart of higher self, right? The true being that expresses itself as higher self, body, mind, spirit complex, the total seven-dimensional self, the heart of that being the logos, the center of love light, the creator. In our approach to that, where we stop is where we cannot take the light. And that is where we feel shame, where we have self-blame, where we feel unworthy, where the second chakra is blocked. Right? The second chakra blockage says, I'm not worthy. Howard Storm says, put me back. Put me back. Terrible. Meaning, put me back in hell. I don't deserve this glory. I'm not deserving. He said what I meant by telling the light to put me back. You see, interestingly, even at this point, he didn't say Jesus Christ in his writing. Maybe he did think that at the time, but he didn't write that yet here. What I meant by telling the light, the entity, well, I think it was an archangel, to put me back was to put me back into the pit. How about that? I was so ashamed of who I was and what I had been all of my life that all I wanted to do was hide in the darkness. Sound familiar, anyone? Because of shame. Because he thought he was so horrible. And that's exactly what Gautama was saying, that Shila, one of the primary purposes of Shila, discipline, morality, ethics, virtue, is to prevent regret. Because even though he had already gone through his hell phase and did not need it anymore, he did not need to be in the peripheral hell of sadistic violence. He was finished with that. That really was finished. Still, he felt unworthy, because even when the level of physical karma has been satisfied, there's still the karmic carryover at the levels of mind. And so in his deep mind, he basically still carried unworthiness. Of course, that was why he became an atheist and a skeptic in the first place, because he felt unworthy, because he had been wounded emotionally, like all of us, but met that wounding, his deep wounding from childhood and past life, I'm sure. He met that deep wounding with rejection that transformed into arrogance, pride, and anger. He, rather than feel the pain and accept the feeling of weakness, and he, that would be required to accept the suffering and grief of his trauma, it was rejected. It was covered over with pride and arrogance, and turned into, a mean personality that enjoyed hurting others. And even when the physical karma is satisfied, meaning he didn't need to be beat up anymore, he still carried the shame of having been a bad person. Bad. Bad meaning outside of love. That's all. He had lived strongly outside of love and had hated those who had heartful love, spirituality, or religion. And approaching the great source of love light, massive shame arises. I remember I saw a teacher, a Tibetan teacher, who I don't know is so pure, but one of the tops, actually he was the head of one of the four branches, the Sakyapa, guy who had like a big earring. And he was one of the head of the four branches of Tibetan Buddhism. I mean, really top level, at least politically in the system. And I felt like a little worm. Now, I don't know if that's actually true, meaning that I was so negative, but or he was so great. But I had that feeling of shame. And we will carry that shame, or we do carry it now, and we will experience regret and shame again when we do our life review. And all the people we hurt, and all the opportunities we missed, and all of our experiences of selfishness and domination and harming others, and we will see their reactions too. And so he says, I was so ashamed of who I was, what I had been all my life, that I wanted to do, that all I wanted to do was hide in the darkness. I didn't want to go toward the light anymore. I did, yet I didn't. Right? The mind is normally conflicted. How many times in my life had I denied and scoffed at the reality before me? How many thousands of times had I used it as a curse? God damn. Right? People who curse God, or curse the Creator. I mean, the problem, of course, is that human religion really is very distorted, and lots of people have used religion to hurt each other, and lots of the leaders of religion are distorted and even negatively oriented. Yes, indeed. But that doesn't mean that the heart of religiosity is false. The heart is the reality of Creator, the reality of creation by that Creator, the reality of infinite love light, the reality of infinite dimensions, soul evolution, cosmic plan, the laws, all that reality still stands, despite the distortions of human religion, human dogma, human leadership, human followers, and the negative co-optation of that all. So despite humanity, the heart of religion is true. And then he said, what incredible intellectual arrogance to use the name as an insult, meaning God. The name, God damn you, this kind of thing. So he really enjoyed hurting spiritual people, religious people. Then he get now he's a fear you're afraid to go closer. And this is what happens to the skeptics and those who may be listening who doubt all this. Go right ahead, bro, doubt it. And after you leave your physical body, you will see. Go right ahead and doubt. Go right ahead and curse it. Go right ahead. And after you die, let's see. Keep your eyes open. So, he was aware that the incredible intensity of the emanations might disintegrate what I still experience as my physical body. The light, the power of this light, which is not burning, it's not heat. There's no temperature here. It's a translucent light, actually, meaning it's sort of invisible white light, or it's visible, but it's completely immaterial. So that is the reality, actually, that the love light love of source cannot be entered with a blemish, with any spot of impurity. Only fully developed seven chakras, right? You can't dance on the face of the sun unless you're a sixth density being. You can't be a sixth density being unless there's a massive development of love, wisdom, imbalance, and realization of unity. So that's the fear of being destroyed by the light. It's not that the light is destructive, it's that there can be no discordant vibratory condition of mind or energy incompatibility of our seven ray system. Anything other than we can't enter that pure white light unless we are pure white light. Unless we open to infinite love, we can't enter infinite love. And that opening really shows us all our blemishes or all our distortions, which is everything outside of perfect love wisdom, everything outside of perfect balance, anything other than perfect balance, perfect love wisdom, complete selflessness, right? Complete transparency of identity, completely transparent identity. Transparent meaning open to totality and knowing totality as our being. And you can't fake that. And so, interestingly, that's where they stopped. That's where he stopped. And that's exactly like in the Bardo Tarul in Tibetan Buddhism, after death, the idea that you'll stop as far as you'll stop on the journey into the light at the position where you can't take it anymore, which is the result of basically imperfections, lack of full development. So only a seventh density being, a complete and perfect enlightened being, could enter the sun and become one with the creator. And that's a Gautama, that's Nityananda, guys like that. Anyway, and so for the first time, this entity speaks to him. And that's where where he stopped is where he could no longer stand it, where he felt shame and unworthiness. And that's the position of rebirth, actually. And that's the position where they did the healing, the life review. So first he did his healing, right? The healing was getting out of hell, getting out of the peripheral hell. Now he's moving towards the life review. And the male entity or the being says, if you're uncomfortable, we don't have to go closer. And so we stop where we were, still countless miles away from the great being. And when Howard Storm basically stopped at this position, and the entity communicates by mind that, okay, I know you're uncomfortable, we can stop here. The entity said, you belong here. That doesn't mean only you belong close to God. It means you belong here, not closer to God. You don't belong in hell forever. and you don't belong closer to God because of your shame, not because of your worth, because of your thought about your worth, which is related to your past conduct, which is regret about, you know, having hated love light, had it hated light love, having turned away from your own pain. That's where you belong, at the position, the maximal position of the capacity for self-love, which is love. So you see, that's the thing about healing. To the extent that you love yourself, you're loving. To the extent that you bring love to your pain, you are a being of love. That's the measure of your development of love, is your capacity to love your pain, which is to love your patterns and accept them. Doesn't mean you have to continue them. Love means acceptance, unconditional care for, beyond shame, manipulation, control, avoidance, denial, repression, and all that. And so the measure of his capacity to be a being of love was the limit of his capacity for self-forgiveness. So the limit of our capacity for self-forgiveness is the limit of our approach in our approach to the one infinite source of love light. Very nice, very interesting. And that's why Gautama said the purpose of sila is to prevent regret. The purpose of discipline or morality or goodness, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't harm self or other. Because if you do, you will carry regret. And that will be the limit of your self-forgiveness, which will be the limit of your capacity to love yourself, your mind, your being. And that will be the limit of your approach to totality or infinite love light. And so, facing all the splendor made me acutely aware of my lowly condition. My response was, no, you've made a mistake, put me back. And the entity said, we don't make mistakes, you belong. You don't belong closer, bro. You don't belong further. You belong here. That's the funny thing. You belong doesn't mean, you know, you're an angel. And later he was, you know, read the bill of goods of his own harmful life, harmful conduct with others. But this was another indication to me that this was accurate reporting. Because the angels don't make mistakes. They don't. They don't know everything. They have their limit. But to whatever their sphere, their department of creation, their department of responsibility for the administration of creation, their tasks, the delegated tasks to them, within that sphere, they don't make mistakes. Because that's what they're developed. They're created for that. They are the assistants of the Logos in the administration management, but mainly administration of the operation of the octave of the seven-dimensional system. They don't make mistakes. No, indeed, they don't. Confederation makes mistakes. Yahweh was mistaken in its attempts to aid humanity, said Ra, even though Ra also said there are no mistakes. Yet, in time and space, mistakes can be observed. So, and then interestingly, even more esoteric, the entity calls out in a musical tone to the luminous entities who surrounded the great center. This is co-creation. Later he explained that one of the greatest joys of of angelics, and actually higher beings, is to participate in the creation of love light with the source, with the creator, with God. What he's calling God can be called the one infinite creator, or really can be called the creator. This is not even the one infinite creator. If he had went to see the you know, one infinite, he would have gone into that logos, into this light. That big ball of love light that he was looking at, light love, I believe is the logos, not the galactic logos, not the source of the logos. But if he had been, you know, if he was fully enlightened being, he would have gone straight into that luminous galactic center, logoic light love center. He would have gone straight into it and then come out the other side into the next octave. And he's obviously not at that level, nor are we, but we're getting there. And so it's the capacity to go into the heart of the logos that allows one to graduate the octave. And the entity that he was with wouldn't have gone with him, but he wouldn't have been that entity. They would have had a higher angelic companion at that point. They would have provided a different guide, or none would be needed, actually. Anyway, the joy of co-creation really is the dance around the logoic sphere of love light, the orbiting dance that leads to greater creation of light love. That interplay between the being circling and the central, what we could call a central spiritual sun, like that, was further emission of light love from the source. And that's a co-creative process, and that's a sixth density affair, primarily. So, the entity sounds a musical tone. Other entities come. There were many with us. He's still crying because this is so, this is glory. This is glory. I could imagine crying, crying, crying all the also. Now again, that crying is the ongoing release of pain. Gautama doesn't cry. Nityananda doesn't cry. They go into the sun freely. They come and go from the sun, into and out of the sun freely. There are no more tears left. They've dried it up. Heraclitus said, "Dry, the soul grows good." And so the moisture of the liquid phase, the crying, is the result of the drying up of the unhealed sorrow of the past, of his wounding and trauma. That was the basis of his nihilism and antisocial or anger personality. But for those who go into the eye of the sun, the heart of the sun, no tears are left. And so his tears are associated with his ongoing process, and also the fact that there really still was lack of forgiveness. Then, one of the first things the marvelous beings did was to ask, "Are you afraid of us?" And again, we have further confirmation that higher beings know about fear. Don't tell me that good ETs don't understand human fear. That's a lie. Angelics know about fear. Positive entity, higher, fourth, fifth, sixth density, all positive confederation beings, they know about fear, of course. And so it's a lie to say that the negative entities that do abduction or whatever contact that is really abduction or negative, that they don't know about human fear. That's BS. Be careful, human BS. So, are you afraid? He said, "I wasn't." They said they could turn their brilliance down and appear as people, but he wanted them to stay this way, which was nice that he could handle that light. And that's a testament to his soul development from past lives. And so he's saying he can see 80 new primary colors. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Delighted with the new formless world. They're giving me what I needed. Absolutely, because they know his mind. They know the past. They know his soul past. And they also know the intricate dynamics of his mind process now. They can read it. And they can feel it, and they can think it. They knew everything he was thinking. You see, he could also feel distress. So you see, he had a lot of shame. He really had hurt a lot of people during his life. It's as simple as that. He had really been an SOB. And for an SOB to be among such angelic, glorious beings is painful. So he even felt distressed that they knew everything he was thinking. And he also at one point said that he knew they knew he was naked. And they sort of chuckled or something because they don't care. They don't look at his body, they're not judging anything. They couldn't care less. They're looking at his mind. They're there for a piece of work. They're helping him in this transformation. It was a thought exchange, natural, very easy, very casual. He heard their voices clearly and individually. Welcome to the out of the after death experience, right? Telepathy is the way. That's natural, easy. Even him, zero spiritual training, zero spiritual training during his life. He had a lot in past lives, I think. Zero training, still no problem with telepathy, because it's of the dimension. You know, at that point he was at a higher dimensional level on the astral, and that's just part of the equipment. It's part of the equipment of the astral body, of course. They each had a distinct personality, and so these are permutations of perfection. These are forms of the infinite, the angelic. These are basically angelics of a particular level. These are actually probably fourth density angelics, if not higher. They used English. Everything I thought, they knew. They knew and understand him very well. They're completely familiar with his thoughts and his past. He didn't feel any desire to ask for someone he had known, because they all knew me. Meaning, he didn't need to see if these people were from his from private were human before. He explained this in another interview, which gave me the sense that he had a sense that maybe some of these were like, you know, his deceased parents or grandparents or relatives or something, but he didn't need them to take their human form, because the intercourse, the spiritual intercourse of mind and feeling, was so complete. There was no need for any other form. He didn't try to identify them as uncle or grandfather. But it felt like they were closer to me than anyone I had ever known. And that's, again, this is some of what wanderers have lost. In the home group on other in other planets, other worlds, other dimensions, true, real wanderers have lost this profound intimacy in community, interpersonally, between all the beings of the group, our soul family. We've lost that. And that's one of the reasons for wanderers being so unhappy on Earth, susceptible to what Ra called the three troubles of allergies, personality disorders, and severe alienation. Many, many wanderers feel severe alienation. Many people have some kind of body reaction like allergy. Many people have psychological disorder, personality disorders, they said. Personality disorder is serious psychopathology. It's on the way to the hospital. It's not just neurosis, it's psychosis, actually, personality disorder. That's the term Ra used. They could have said neurosis, they could have said emotional problem, they said personality disorder. So just because the person has psych as you know, just because the person is schizophrenic and says they're an ET doesn't mean it is not true. Just because the person's crazy doesn't mean what he says is not true. And then the converse, which is a Brazilian saying, just because he's dead doesn't mean he knows anything. Just because you're channeling somebody doesn't mean that somebody is positive. Just because you're channeling somebody entity positive doesn't mean it's higher positive. Can be fourth density positive. Can be mid-astral plane positive. These things, you know, these subtleties are lost on most people. But actually, if you want to grow up metaphysically, we have to make distinction. So we're getting close to the end of this section, and we'll end soon. It seemed like a very long time. He was supported by these beings, by the being physically supported by the being in whom I had been engulfed in love and knowing. Hanging in space, around us were countless radiant beings like stars in the sky coming and going like a super magnified view of a galaxy super packed with stars. And in the giant radiance of the center, they were packed so densely that individuals could not be identified. Their cells were in such harmony with the Creator that they were really just one. And so, all is one. And I don't know if he was watching angelics, actually. He might have been watching the process of logoic generation of angelics, meaning the angelics created by the logos and continuing to be created by the logos could appear as stars dancing around orbiting a central spiritual sun. So he was saying that these countless beings went back to source to become invigorated with the sense of harmony and oneness, the reality of oneness. Harmony is the natural condition of creation. Down here on the ground on Earth, there's a lot of disharmony because of the peripheral hell beings in human body who get invigorated by others' pain and conflict and fear and fighting. Because we live in a society with many people like that, like the peripheral hell beings that Howard Storm met. There are many humans like that. And there's much more lower astral intervention now at this time in human history. Exorcism is a very active department of the Vatican now, more than ever before. Whatever you say about the Vatican, some of those priests are doing real exorcism also. So, being apart for too long diminished them and made them feel separate. Their greatest pleasure was to go back to the sources of all life. You can say, our greatest pleasure is to return to source. And that's what, like St. Paul said, I die daily. Going to sleep at night, returning to higher dimensions, if we do, or simply in meditation. Moving to silence of mind and expansion of the energy field is comparable to a return to source. And so the initial conversation involved them simply trying to comfort me, something that disturbed me that I was naked, and they told me it was okay, and that was fine. So he's very self-conscious and very still tied to old shame. And so after this, next time, we'll get into the next section, number three, the life review of Howard Storm. And again, this is all from his book, and I'll give the credit on the webpage to the source here. And after this, basically, he's going to get his life review. So this section we just went through is the bulk of the energy healing. Healing precedes life review. And not every person who dies has to go to a peripheral hell domain. Of course not. But he did. And after that, then comes the healing, then comes life review, then comes preparation for the next phase, which after death for most people is reincarnation. But for him, of course, because it was an NDE and the plan was to return, it was preparation for that return. So, it's lovely. And thank you, Howard. For this, it's a real gift to humanity, truly a gift to humanity in the end times, and a better man for the job could not be found. So love yourself, and we love you too. So let's end here for today. Next time we'll do number three. So thanks for being here today. Next time we'll cover section three, the life review, and explore more of the metaphysics. And that section is not so long, so we probably will do it in an hour. And thank you again, and see you next time. Good night.